I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
All right, coming up 7:20, an announcement about the show. Top secret announcement about the show. No one will know.
Fungus on my toe, and I need
at 6:41, Dr. Kevin Most joins us. How was your weekend?
It was great. Yeah. I can't believe you're talking about congressional and that, and nobody mentioned John Rahm.
John Rahm in regards to how well he played, you're talking about?
Yeah, here his first event as a professional, and almost won it, and qualifies for the British. I think he's the real deal.
Well, yeah, and it's an important note to make, but not nearly as good as Dave's story.
Yeah,
But thanks, Doc.
All right, so hot, steamy weekend, and you know, I know we do the sunblock thing all the time. But I see people running around all weekend, and they start on Friday, and they're, you know, they look, you know, like Conan O'Brien. They're pasty, like Jim Gaffigan. They're pasty and they're white. And then on Friday, you got to use dental records to identify them. When are people going to get the message?
Yeah, and especially like you said, how hot it was. You know, this is sunblock on every hour, 2 hours max, to be honest with you, because you're sweating it off and it's getting out of there. And we really do need to get that across, because people say, oh, this looks so healthy. It looks so healthy. You're doing damage to your skin. You're increasing your chance of skin cancer, which is the number one cancer out there. And really, let's be smart, guys, even especially the kids. Make sure that you take great care of the kids, especially the very young ones. All those kids under 1 year old should be lathered up, and they should be make sure that you put it back on them, because they're the most susceptible to a bad burn at this time.
You know, I got to open up like a kiosk or something in high traffic areas with like a car wash sprayer, and you just run people through there every hour. Just line up, come through, and I just blast you with sunblock.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, you could, you know, those spray-on ones, the powdery ones, those would be great. You could sit out there on Michigan Avenue and do that.
What's the rule if you forget, though, Doc? Because sometimes when we're
playing... Don't go outside?
No, but once you're out in the sun, you start to feel the burn. No relation to Bernie Sanders, of course, but you feel the burn, and then you put the sunblock on. Is it too late at that point?
It's not too late. It's going to work. But really, sunblock should be put on about 30 minutes before you're going to go out in the sun. You see everybody doing it on the first tee. What actually they should be doing is doing it before they even leave their home, going to the golf course, or even leave their home, going to the pool or to the beach. But yeah, if you can start to feel it, you know that you've missed an opportunity there.
Let's go live to Sandberg, who doesn't wear sunblock. Wait, hold on a second, Sandberg.
You
try
wear
it one more time.
At all?
No, I wear sunblock all the time. And what I like to do is I put it on at home after I get out of the shower. I put on my regular lotion. Then I put the sunblock on while I'm nude. So that way I cover everything. And then I don't have any, like, don't miss any spots. It's very easy to apply. And then I put on my clothes or my.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I also put on a sunblock while I'm nude, but I do it in public. Yeah, I just go out to the first tee. It's a real distracting thing for whoever I'm playing against.
In the car when you're pulling into the golf course.
Doesn't it get all sticky with you put your clothes on over your naked body?
But the thing is, no. Mary, Sandberg, and everyone
it's
else.
Covered.
Doc taught me this. You know, unless you're wearing those fabrics that are SPF protected shirts, those rays are blasting right through your clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't want your sensitive areas getting, you know, those type of rays.
I actually like to use the, I like the smell of the sunscreen as a scent anyway. So it's not sticky though, Mary.
I got to use better
the
stuff.
The other thing that Mary said that's great, if you think about people who do it on the golf course, what do? You put it on your face, then you walk up to somebody and say, can you see any sunblock? Because you want to rub it out, right?
Right.
And show you the areas that you've missed until after when you get home now and you've got a quarter size block of red at an area that you missed.
Or you have the finger marks on your neck.
Exactly. Yep. So if you can do it at home where you really have good control of what you're doing, at least your base is good.
Now, the other thing, too, is I'm thinking about making a helmet completely out of the same plastic used in sunglasses, because look at the stripes I have on either side of my head from being outside.
Holy cow. You know? Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah. I got tan lines where the sunglass bar is.
Look at that.
Yeah. So that obviously blocks those rays nicely. All right, we come back, Doc. The other thing I wanted you to address in regards to the general topic of summer health is, again, when you know you are about to head into a dangerous area from, we used to call it heat stroke, heat sickness, whatever the term is that applies, because Friday when it was crazy hot and Saturday when it was crazy hot, there were a couple times where I was referencing that in my head because you're pounding the Gatorade, you're pounding the water, and maybe it's not making enough of a difference. Stand by. More with Dr. Kevin Most in a second. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. You know, Doc, Dave Ennett, you're familiar with Dave Ennett, world-famous yes. Dave Ennett.
Yes.
Dave was off for a couple days last week, and Dave, explain why.
I was recovering from a procedure for skin cancer, and it's the third one I've had, but this time there were two cancers involved, and one on my forehead and one on the top of my head, on my scalp. There was a squamous cell. Neither of these were melanoma, but they were removed surgically with a procedure called Mohs surgery.
Mohs surgery.
Yeah, yep. Which I've had before.
Done by a guy named Mo?
It's M-O-H.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not really sure. Probably was a guy named Mo.
Guy named Mo. Yep. And you now have nine staples in your head.
I have nine staples in the top of my head.
And that wasn't an accident at Staples. That
no,
was actually
it was
an,
not.
An intended thing. But you and I were talking out there a second ago, Dave, and Kev's the same age. We all grew up, Kev and Dr. Most, in an era where nobody was talking about sunblock. People were holding up aluminum foil reflectors and putting bacon grease on their arms. They were trying to do what we're telling people not to do now.
Yeah, they were. And Dave, a couple of great points that Dave made that people may not have subtly picked up. You know, one is he had a skin cancer in his scalp. So when we kind of look at ourselves and we try to figure out if we have skin cancer, stop doing that. Get in to see your doctor and make sure that he does a complete skin exam. Make sure you do that at least once a year. Anything that's suspicious, they're going to monitor it and they might biopsy it. The other thing that Dave said is the Mohs surgery. And there are some great Mohs surgeons here in Chicago. And what that is they start to take out the skin cancer, and then they'll go and look under the microscope to see if they got it all. And then they'll come back and take a little bit more, just so they make sure they get all of the cancer with doing the minimal amount of surgery. And you have some very talented people here that in the city that can do this so that your scarring is very minimal. So don't be afraid of having that done.
And Dave, you were saying that it was an uncomfortable thing to go through after the surgery, and it's still a little bit uncomfortable. So if you can avoid it, avoid it.
Yeah, it's believe me, if I could do it, if I had a do-over here. Right. But now that I had this done, I know it's over and done with, and I've gotten much smarter, as we all have, about being in the sun. Unfortunately, there were 40 years or so earlier in my life where we just didn't really know.
We never talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. We just didn't talk about it. All right, Doc, let's talk about summer health here for a second when it comes to food. Yep. Big 4th of July weekend coming up. Everybody's going to be out grilling. Everybody's going to throw the potato salad out Wednesday, eat it on Sunday. It's just, you got to be careful, right?
You really do. You know, with food, barbecue season, there's a couple things that I would say be really careful about, especially when it's 90 degrees. Any of these cream-based salads, any salads that are out, if they're out in the sun for a long time, what happens is the bacteria multiply in the salad, but then they put off a toxin that's in the salad that you don't even taste. So you're eating the salad, and there's enough flavor in it that you feel it's okay. Within a couple hours, you can be violently ill. So any of those, make sure they're set on ice, make sure they stay cool.
What about
cooking chicken and cooking hamburgers. You know, if you're going to cook hamburgers, you know, you say, I like mine rare. You know what? Make sure it's done at a restaurant so that they're actually testing to make sure that the temperature of the meat, even at the inside of the meat, is 160 degrees. And chicken should be cooked completely. Do not eat any chicken that's not completely cooked. 97% of chicken have some bad bacteria on them prior to you cooking them.
Andrea Darlow's question for Doc.
Doc, I love to go to the farmer's markets and get the fresh vegetables. Is that okay? I mean, I know those have been sitting out, and sometimes they sit out for days and days before people buy up the produce. Is that okay to buy?
Yep, those are all fine to buy. The biggest thing with them is just, you know, you say, oh gosh, I'm going to buy these peaches. They look so great. And you buy them, they put them in a bag, and you get in your car and you start eating them. Don't do that. Get home and at least wash them off, rinse them off really well. There's a lot of bacteria on the outside of those. But really, those are not going to get to be rotten, and you'll be able to know when they are just by the texture. So the vast majority of those are fine. But especially any of those that are in the dirt, you know, carrots and potatoes, make sure that you wash those really well before using them.
We're talking about mosquitoes in relation to Zika and the Olympics, but do we still have a West Nile issue here?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it actually, you make an interesting point. Everyone's looking Zika. But really, we should be concerned more about West Nile and Lyme disease. So West Nile, everybody remembers, it doesn't affect people too poorly. Matter of fact, probably 80-90% of us have probably had West Nile and not even known it. But you get a fever, you get a headache, you get body aches, you can get a rash. But the severe infections that we see sometimes in seniors, it can get into the brain and can cause bad things, can cause coma, seizures, and even paralysis in some people.
You also made the point in some notes that you were nice enough to send over, as always, that you can get poison ivy from your dog?
Yeah.
I never knew this.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Poison ivy, about 85% of people will be affected by poison ivy. So there's a small portion of the population that can take poison ivy leaves and it doesn't affect their skin at all. However, people say, I'll ask people all the time, well, you obviously have poison ivy. You see them in the office. They're like, well, I can't have poison ivy. I wasn't anywhere. You know, where were you? You know, and then I find out that their dog ran through some, you know, to chase a rabbit, came back, they pet the dog. The oil from the poison ivy is on the fur of the dog, and it's now in their hand. And people always say, it's spreading. I'm like, no, it's not spreading. You're spreading it. So a couple things with poison ivy. If you think you were exposed, get in, take a cool shower with soapy water. It'll break down the oil. Take the clothes that you are wearing and put them in the wash immediately. The oil will stick around, and you will continue to spread if you wear those clothes again or touch those clothes again. And then the big thing there, if you have it really bad, get into the doctor because we'll put you on a strong dose of steroids to keep that inflammation down.
We know that kids are less active than they've ever been, but in the summertime, occasionally they do get outside, even if it's accidental. And while they're outside, you can get, you know, the bumps and bruises we got as kids. I remember specifically a million times as a kid, you wipe out on your bike, you got gravel and a scrape on your knee. You know, you scrape the gravel out, you get back on your bike and you ride away. But right. You got to treat that type of thing, right?
You do, especially those you know, road rashes is what we call them. You'll get it on your legs when you wipe out on your bike. And really, the big thing there is a couple things. One, you've just exposed a whole bunch of skin. So skin's our biggest defense to keep bacteria out. So the chance of that getting infected is pretty high. So you really want to wash that out as much as possible. If you can't get all the little specks of dust, dirt out of there, get in to see somebody. We have more aggressive ways that we can clean to get that out of there. Because what happens with some of that is that the skin scars over it, and you have tattooing is what we call, where the gravel and the dirt is now encased in your skin. And you say, oh, yeah, I wiped out there, you know, the skin's healed, but you still have the marks there. So unless you want them as a badge of honor, get in there to get them cleaned out.
How are we alive?
Yeah.
How did the
amazing
70s not kill us?
Right.
So. Let your kids be active. Encourage them to be active. If the number one injury your kid has this summer is carpal tunnel from texting, they're probably not active enough. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, get them out. You know, that's a right of being a kid. You know, you're going to get a laceration. You're going to get burned. You're going to get scraped. But it teaches you a lot, too.
Dr. Kevin Most, courtesy of Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Nice to talk to you, bud.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.